Heart to us. Help us, O God, to be aligned completely to you, to your will, to your purpose, to your person. As ones created in your image and likeness. Thank you, Lord, for the redemptive grace, the fullness of your love. Your unquenchable love, your tender mercies. Help us, O God, to know you as you are, not have a wrong image of you, that the life that we live truly honor you, Father. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Grace has found me just as I am. Now I am alive in your hands. There's no other place to be alive but in you. We give you praise. Have your will, God. Help us now. Reveal your glory in us, with us, by us, and through us. And help us, O God, as your ambassadors to represent you and the kingdom properly. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you for leading us in worship. Bless you. We've been studying since last year, maybe last year summer or something, I'm not too sure when we started the book of Matthew. And we've gotten to the 25th chapter. Last week we started working through the parable of the 10 virgins. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. Something that we need to understand. Could you please have those doors closed? Praise God. Something we need to understand about parables is that parables don't necessarily form a foundation of doctrinal statement. Parables generally have a particular point, a very specific point that they want to address. So the story or the parable has a particular objective. But generally, it's not for the establishment of a doctrine. So you cannot really build doctrinal statements from parables. But so when we look at parables, let me backstep a little bit on that. Not all parables can you build a doctrinal statement from. There are some parables that have a doctrinal message that it wants to convey. And some of the parables that we're going to see here in the 25th chapter are addressing doctrinal statements, and some are not. Now, this particular first one of the 10 virgins is addressing a particular point, and that particular point is the point of readiness, that we need to be ready. Amen? We need to be ready. Now, in addressing the subject of readiness then, we need to address the issue of who got ready and who didn't get ready. Then we need to address the issue of what about that readiness did the Lord caption? And in this case, he captioned the ready ones, or the five virgins, as wise, and the foolish ones as unwise. Now then we need to go back, further back, and say, okay, who is it that God says is wise? Because in that sense then we'll know what readiness really means. And that becomes a building block, because the next parable builds on that. So now, what do we know about the five wise and five foolish? What we do know is that the five wise and the five foolish virgins were all invited to meet with the bridegroom. They were invited to meet with the bridegroom. So we have that. So what we do then know from that particular situation is that these wise slash foolish are not necessarily the church, because they are meeting with the bridegroom. But hold it a moment. Hidden in that statement then is this statement of the Lord: many are what? Called, but few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Now, we do know something about wisdom. Wisdom, the Bible tells us, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. So, we can put that in one pocket and say, wisdom, winning souls, wisdom. So, not winning souls, not wisdom. Amen? Okay. We can also do this. I will liken a man who comes, hears my words, and does them as a wise man who builds his house on a solid rock. And the storm of life comes and hits against that house, but that house stood. But a foolish man comes, hears my words, but does not do it. So we can separate those two and say, wise people are doers of the word. Foolish people are not doers of the word. That makes sense? Okay. Then we can go on further and we can say that the word of God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments or do what I say. And we can put it this way even further and say, the Lord says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, participate in the kingdom of God. So then, we can come to this conclusion that our love for God is what is going to determine whether we are wise or foolish. Are we together so far? So, what are we doing? We're trying to define all these people that are here and who ends up being are chosen. The Bible tells us that they were invited. The wise ones took oil in their lamps, but the foolish ones just took their lamps without oil. Interesting. So what are they looking for? They're looking for whatever it is that benefits them but does not benefit the other person. They are not really interested in the bridegroom. They are only interested in the fact that they were invited. Now think about that a moment. The fact that so many believers are only interested in the fact that they've been invited to salvation but don't have anything to bring to the table to honor him that saved them. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that we are not part of the wise virgins if we're not interested in what God is interested in. What is God interested in? He's interested in souls. He that winneth souls is wise. So what is the point? The point is this. You are not ready to meet the Lord if you are not bringing him what, or presenting to him what pleases him. If you're having a wedding, you always look at who brought what gifts to you. I invited all these people. I see a gift came from this person, a gift came from that person, a gift came from that person, but this person nothing, this person nothing, this person nothing, this person nothing. Selfish people. He came and ate my food, danced to my music, drank my drinks, but brought me nothing. They don't care about me and my family. That makes sense? So also it is that if you show up before God empty-handed, when I'm talking empty-handed, I'm not just talking about money. Talking about souls. You've not even attempted to tell anybody about Jesus. You're not part of the wise. You're not taking any oil. To grace that gathering. The Word of God says we should we are the light of the world. And as light of the world, we are shining because we are sharing the love of God with other people. If you are saved, truly saved, then the last words of the Lord become very important to you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Just that's his last words to us. That's the last command to us. And in doing so, he also said, I'm going to give you the oil that you need. All you need is the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So anyone who is led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God says, they are the sons of God. Soul winning has to be part of your life as a believer. It's nothing like I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, and you not sharing the gospel. With words and without words. Because your greatest testimony is not the words that you speak. It is in the way you carry yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. So, verse 7 of 25 makes this striking statement. It says, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, because they all slept, they all slumbered, because the bridegroom was delayed." Well, not really delayed. He stayed back. The Bible says he tarried. That's intentional. And sometimes there are times when God tarries to flush out what's inside of you. The times when God tarries to reveal what's inside of you, whether you're faithful to the end or not. I told you I'm coming, but he stayed, the Bible says, after midnight. It was sounded that the bridegroom is coming. And they all woke up and they trimmed their lamps. In verse 8 says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Not only did they sleep, their lamps went out. They had no oil to sustain it. Who is this? This is a person who is not studying the Word of God to be an approved worker. If you're a worker of the Lord, you are busy sharing the Word with others. And if you're going to share the Word with others, you are keeping yourself current in your understanding, recognizing that different people have different needs. And so you spend your time studying the Word of God. The Bible talks about the Berean church. These were people who just hear the word, but they studied it to make sure that what they heard was the truth and made that truth part of themselves. When you are a true believer, you spend your time studying. It's not only when you come to church to hear the preacher or the teacher of the word. You spend your time meditating on the word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, and by so doing, it says, you will make your way prosperous because you're meditating on the word of God. You meditate on the word. You're keeping it inside of you. You're mulling over it. You're thinking about it. You can spend a whole week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks just thinking about John 3:16. God so loved. And you say, God. And you spend your time thinking about God. Who is God? And you spend your time thinking about it. God, he created everything. God. The God who created everything. All the universe. All the people. God loves me. Wow. God so loved, he gave. And you can spend all time thinking about God loved. And you can think about God loved and God gave. If I'm created in his image and his likeness, then if I am like God, I also love and I also give. Because that's part of God. And you spend your time thinking about that and thinking about that and thinking about it, meditating on it. And pretty soon you begin to see that the only lifestyle that fits you is the lifestyle of a giver. That anytime you're not giving, you're not representing him. Just spend your time thinking about that. Gave his only begotten. Whosoever believes in him, the God who loved and who gave, whosoever believes in the giver will not perish. Now, just think about that, not only in terms of God, but think about it in just in terms of life. If you believe in the giver, you will not waste away unnecessarily. You live joyfully. You draw out of the wells of salvation with joy, the Bible tells us. There are all kinds of things that happen. That is you building yourself up so that you can become a vessel of honor to reach out to other people and impact other people's lives. It's the wisdom of God. That's part of you getting yourself ready. If you're not studying the Word of God, you're not meditating on the Word of God, you're not sharing the Word of God with others, you will not be ready. Let me say that again. You will not be ready. You are ready when you begin to love people and share the Word of God with other people. Let me tell you what happens. No one wants to be a hypocrite. I remember when I went to the first time I left the sanctuary and the safety and the the community of saints. When I got saved, I went to a school called Nana College in Nigeria. It was a teacher training college. I've told this story before. I'm not going to rehearse that story. But anyhow, when I got in and I located my dorm and went in, they showed me where my bed, my bunk was going to be. I dropped my stuff and I turned around and I said, that were there with me, that brought me in, I said, I am a Christian. That's the first night. My first words to them, I am a Christian. My name is Michael. But before I mentioned my name, I identified myself as a Christian, and that was very intentional. The reason I said that was because this is the first time I've been, I lived a very worldly life. And this is the first time I am away from the protection of other saints, going to church and being with other people. I wanted to make certain that everybody in that school watched me like a hawk. That was going to be part of my protection. You watch me like a hawk, because now I know you're watching me. Now I know I must live right. I must live right. I cannot live any which way that is ungodly. And that was the first thing that came out. Now, from that very moment, they really started watching me. And their response was, oh, you're one of those. There's a group here called the SU, or Scripture Union. We'll introduce you to some of the people that attend that group. And they did. And, of course, the first thing I did there, I'm a Christian. My name is Michael. And they said, watching, and they started seeing my involvement. And before you knew it, within the first 3-4 weeks, I was a leader of the Scripture Union. I had formed a Christian band called Salvation Singers. I was writing songs, and I was leading them in all this, and was very, very involved right from the word go. Because I knew if I didn't do that, I was going to create room for the enemy to occupy. And as it's very well said, nature abhors a vacuum. If you don't fill it with the right stuff, something will fill it. If you don't fill your life with the things of God, something else will fill it. Foolish ones didn't fill their tank, their lamps with any oil. Now they've slept, now they're trimming their wicks, and they're trimming it just like the others, but there's no light. Nothing. Their lamps were gone out. Next verse. But the wise answered, saying, not so. That's not what's going to happen. We're not giving you any of our oil. Lest there be not enough for us and you. So this is what you got to do. You go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Go to those who sell oil and get yours. And like I said earlier, parables are there to get a particular point across. So in reality, there's no doctrinal statement that will point us to people that are there to sell oil. That makes sense? But for the story to be communicated, go get your own oil. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, that's the point, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. It was the ones that were ready that went into the marriage. Those that are not ready did not go into the marriage. That's the point. And the point then to us is this: am I ready? Am I doing the things that cause me to be ready? Am I studying the Word of God? Am I winning souls like the wise? Am I studying the Word of God so that I am a workman approved of God? Approved to be ready. They went into the marriage and the door was shut. The door was shut. Bang. Next verse says, afterward came also the other virgins. The other virgins. Now, this time, the Bible doesn't say, use the word foolish. It just says other virgins. Saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now they are calling him Lord. Lord, Lord, open to us. 13. And he answered, 12 rather. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you what? Not. I know you not. What do you mean you don't know us? You invited us. This is akin to the statement, well, I think we'll find it as we go further. We cast out demons in your name and we prophesied in your name and we did this in your name. And he said, I don't know you. Why? Because they were doing it for filthy lucre. They were doing it for their own notoriety. They were not doing it as unto the Lord. They were doing it for their own self. So what does that tell me? It tells me this, that I can do the preaching of the gospel. That's why I didn't say foolish this time. They started doing whatever it is that seemingly was right. But now it was not based on the truth of God. He says, I don't know you. And let's be mindful of something. In this day that we live in, you've heard me say this before, and I want to say it again. We must not live our lives based on what seems to be the miraculous. We need to live our lives based on the fruit that glorifies and exalts God. There are so many miracles that are going to happen in the days to come that are not going to be founded on the basis of truth, the truth of God's word. Just like the magicians of Pharaoh competed with Moses, there's going to be that same challenge. And may I say something else to you? Are you ready for this? Please. I beg you. Know what the Word of God says. Because there are so many that you and I know that were preachers and are still preaching the Word of God, but have gone off on a deep end, who are, even as we are talking right now, are part of the one world church. They've signed on the dotted line. Don't embrace that. I'm not going to call names for you. But if I start mentioning names right now, you'll be shocked. You will flip. And some of you will say, okay, if this person is already become part of the one world church, why am I even here? I cannot believe that that guy is part of that. That's how serious it is. It is bad. There are people that I know that he's going to say those words to, I know you not. I know you not. Because the Lord has tarried. You're going to end up being part of that. I know you not. And when I see, and it's not like today that I start telling you stuff like this. I've been telling you this for 20 years. The message has not changed. Not all that glitters is gold, they say. Yeah? And you got to have this very deep in your spirit. If this person can falter and fail so royally, I must need something more than whatever it is that they had, because if they failed with what they had, I need more than that. I need more than that. And you can tell how people are dropping. from the truth of God's word. And everything has become so money, money, money. Whatever it is, I can tell you so I can get some money off of you so that I can build my kingdom. And it is exactly that. About building my kingdom. It's no longer about building his kingdom. It's about me, myself, and I. And when that is present, you got an issue that needs to be addressed. And that's why every one of us must humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Amen? It's gone. I know I'm not going to get on to the next parable. I guess we'll have to take it up next time. It says, watch therefore. This is the key. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man being the bridegroom. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour when he's going to come. Therefore, be ready all the time. Be ready all the time. Make sure you're ready. Because it's going to come at any time, at any hour. Matthew 24 gave us so many options. And in all of those options, he was basically telling us, I can come at this time, 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 I can come at any time. Since you don't know, God can choose any time, and actually tells us that he had to shorten the time. That's another option. Okay, I'm going to do all of this is going to happen, but I can shorten. Listen, this movie has been written out. It has been played out. From the very first to the end. But I am the editor. I decide when that end is going to come. I can cut off this whole strip over here. Chip, chip, zoom, out of the way. And splice a new ending from another spot. Capish? He is the master editor. And this thing can wrap up at any time. Nothing needs to happen for him to wrap it up. He can just decide, I'm cutting this segment out, splice a new system. The ending is still going to be the same. He's going to come back. But when does he come back? That's a totally different story. Because when we go further, we're going to find out that in the story here, he talks not about coming back with the saints and the angels. It talks about him coming back with his angels. And no saints are added. But we know the part of the ending is supposed to be with the saints. But it gives us another ending. Let's see verse 14. Let me see. That's verse 14. Okay, it's not here. He goes into another one. But the end of this particular parable, you will see him coming back. The Bible says, with his angels, but it doesn't say with the saints. But Thessalonians tells us saints and angels. So, Pastor, what are you saying to us? I'm saying the final decision on when the Lord Jesus Christ comes is absolutely his. But this is also the order absolute. If you're not ready, you don't get to go to the marriage feast. So I need to know how I get ready. And I gave you some ideas about what that looks like. My readiness is in me looking at him, the author and the finisher of my faith, and doing what he said I should do, which is win souls. And for me to win souls, I have to have something to offer them. That means I have to develop myself by meditating on the Word of God, studying to be a workman approved of God. That's part of me getting ready. Now, me studying the Word of God to be a workman approved of God means that I am going to be harassed, persecuted, lambasted, called all kinds of names. But what is that compared to eternity? His bride must be ready. The bride is gotten ready by the Spirit of God, which means that if I'm going to be ready, I have to have a very close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I have to have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've got to have the Holy Spirit work with me. Which means that I have no room for grieving the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is represented in the book of Esther as the eunuch Hege that got Esther ready. We need the Holy Spirit to get us ready. What was the thing that was different between Esther and the rest of the virgins that was getting ready? The others went with their own ideas. What outfits they should put on. Esther says to Hege, I'm not going to pick anything. You pick for me. Because you know what the king wants better than. I've never seen the king. But you've been with the king. You chat with the king. So you dress me up. And Bible says she found favor. Increased favor. That's what you and I need. I know I've been very low key today. And it's intentional. Because what we're talking about here is of utmost importance. We need to take this seriously. Last Sunday we started talking about the fear of God. This is part of it. When you don't have a fear of God, you're not interested in the things of God to the extent that you are consumed by it. When you have a true fear of God, you focus your attention and you don't allow any distractions. Every day we come to church, go home, we do our stuff, go to bed, wake up, and everything seems to be the same. But at least once a year, I would say, for many years now, I'll be driving or be doing something, and all of a sudden, my mind goes, you mean one day it all ends and we're in a new phase. Jesus would have come. Am I ready? I don't say that for us to be panicked. That's not it. Because the capacity for readiness is inbuilt in my willingness to allow God to teach me, not to resist what God is trying to communicate with me. And God knows exactly what He needs to do in my life to get me ready. If there's anything He wants to do, He wants me to be ready. But my readiness is going to be founded in how I relate with His love. Because there's nothing that you have that wasn't given to you. You cannot love God without God first loving you. But God having loved you, you must accept that love. And you've heard me say this before. And I restate it today because I'm quickened to say it. If the seed that God sowed into you was His love, His agape love, which is a love for you in spite of you, whether you deserved it or not, then the fruit that must come out of that seed must be the same kind. Which means that you are going to have to love God in spite of God. So what does that mean? That means that there comes a day when it will look like God fails you, just like you failed Him and He loved you anyway. God will do something like tarrying. It looks like God failed you. And then He'll ask you, do you still love me? And you're going to have to say yes or no. You're going to say, yes, God, I love you, even though it looks like you blew it for me. But I still love you. I love you in spite of. I'm not loving you because of what you did for me or didn't do for me. I just love you, period. That, ultimately, is what gets you ready. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens. Save me. Don't save me. Heal me. Don't heal me. Bless me. Don't bless me. Whatever it is that you do, I still love you. I cannot unlove you, God. What you put inside here is incorruptible. It's so incorruptible, you have to take it and toss it. Yeah. I refuse the love of God. But the love of God is not corruptible. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with you. But are you willing to be with him? If you're not, you're not ready. Because there comes a time when the door opens and only those who are ready come in, and he shuts the door. And nobody else comes in. When that happens, I don't want to be on the other side of a shut door. I want to be on the side that he is when the door is shut. What about you? Think about that. Consider that. Meditate on that. And let that be something that burns deep within you on a daily basis. Forget about all this phony stuff that sometimes goes around. He said he shut the door, did he not? And said, I don't know you, did he not? But people who want to teach you about the fake news called fake grace will want you to think, hey, he will open the door and let you in. No. Not true. Because God is not going to have another group of rebellious, self-centered, selfish, me, myself, and I kind of people in his kingdom. He's not. He's had that one time, fooled me one time. Shame on you. Fooled me twice. Shame on me. And God is not going to have shame. He's not going to have that kind of people in his kingdom. People who are there for themselves. That's why God will always kick out. When God wants to do anything, he will kick out people that are there for themselves. He did it with Lot. Kicked him out. Want green grass? Bye. He wants a blemish-free, spot-free, wrinkle-free church. And he believes he can get that with you and I. Let us agree with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the privilege once again to embrace your word. Help us, O God, to be the wise of the virgins, not the foolish ones. Help us to be the ones, O God, that are connected to you, connected to your heartbeat, connected to the reality that there is a God. Let that be absolute. And may we not just know that just in our heads, in our thinking, but may we know that as a truth that embodies us and we embody. One with the truth and the truth one with us. No guile. No confusion about certain things. Father, we declare, O God, that your will be done in us and with us. And that, Lord, O God, that you will speak to us and through us. That you place, O God, a deep hunger and desire within us to preach the gospel, to lead others to the saving grace and the saving love of God. Let no day go by without us sharing your love with somebody. Not out of a sense of rule or regulations or whatever, but as a lifestyle. Just like we breathe in and breathe out. Let it be so real that at every level of consciousness that we preach the gospel. I know I have blood inside of my body and it is been pumped and it's going through every artery and every vein and every vessel in my person, but I don't feel it. It just is. So it is also, Father, we want it to be true that we are just given to seeing lives change effortlessly. Not because we're trying, but because we are your representation here on the earth. Light does not struggle to shine. It just shines effortlessly. So Lord, let us shine effortlessly. May we present to you a witness every day of the dealings of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be like the five wise. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, bless you all. I trust that the grace of God is upon your life. I look forward to being with you this next Friday as we pray together. But this time I want to encourage you to honor God with your giving. Your giving can be addressed once again to donation@gloryandpeace.com or info@mikezenoministries.com. Or you can bring it here and drop it in the mailbox or mail it to 1296 Main Street or be here in person. Well, the good news is that you may not have to do that. If you are going to be here this Sunday, we look forward to having you. The numbers in our